Yours. My name is Hawa, and thank you so much for joining me today as I tell you another one of my crazy dreams. I really appreciate it. Hello, 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 my beautiful sun, moon, and stars. Good morning. How are you? I hope you're having an amazing day, night, evening, afternoon, whatever time it is when you're listening to this. I'm just so glad that you're here with me today. Hi, how are you? I hope you're having an amazing day. I am doing pretty good, all things considered. I mentioned to you guys before that I really like messed up my sleep schedule. So I'm like literally only awake when the sun is down. Like I am a vampire. So I'm only awake at like night. And then the moment the sun comes up, I'm in bed. And I finally I'm starting to fix my sleep schedule. So this is like the first time in a while where I'm like awake and the sun is out and it feels really good. It feels really good. I love the sun. I commune with the sun and it feels nice to like see the sun and feel the nice heat on my body through the window. It feels so good. I also love breakfast food and I ordered breakfast food this morning and I was able to shower. I was able to brush my teeth, drink some water. Make sure you drink some water, hydrate or dehydrate. You know the drill. You know, do my skincare. I bought some like sheet mask and I finally was able to use one and it was awesome and it felt really good. It kind of tingles because it's like a vitamin C sheet mask. So it kind of tingled a little bit. It was like, oh, kind of spicy on the face. Yeah. Kind of spicy on the face. Okay, Hawa. But yeah, it's great. I feel great, which is great because in today's bonus episode, dun 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 dun, I'm going to be talking about a very terrifying experience that I had. So it's a good thing I'm in a good mood right now because I'm probably not going to be by the end of this. But yeah, since it's Halloween, by the time this video is posted, happy Halloween, by the way, woo! I wanted to do like a spooky episode that I always try to do, like have something like spooky during this time. Last year I tried to do a spooky episode with my friend Jay and it turned into us talking about all the times we got high and those experiences, which isn't spooky, but it was still really fun. But this time I want to do something spooky. And I was debating on what I was going to talk about because I had a really terrifying dream and I had this experience, which I don't know whether to categorize it as like a dream experience or just like a terrifying experience in general. I think I'm going to use both interchangeably. But I'll explain it more. And I was debating on the two because they're both really good. But I decided that I would do this one instead because I've always really wanted to talk about this topic on my podcast, Shifting. I really want to talk about this on my podcast. But I also wanted to make sure that when I talked about it, it wasn't coming from a place of like malice, if that makes sense. I feel like a lot of times when people talk about shifting and everything, it's usually to like shit on the people who are shifting and like call them idiots and stupid and delusional and like just be really mean to them. And I feel like I don't want to add on to that.
I think there are a lot of valid criticism for shifting. There are certain aspects of shifting that I personally just can't get down with. Like, I don't like when people abuse shifting, just like any form of escapism, including dreaming, included lucid dreaming. If you abuse that, it can become really dangerous. I know from experience. In my lowest point, when I was super depressed, all I did was sleep. All I did was sleep. All I tried to do was escape my dreams. So I wasn't very, like, in reality at the time. And that's not very healthy at all, especially with shifting. Like, if you are doing it too much, if you're using it as, like, a really bad coping mechanism, if you're not being safe with it, you can give yourself psychosis and cause yourself to have, like, a psychotic break. And as someone who has had a psychotic break and had to go to a mental hospital, let me tell you, it is not fun. So criticism like that is super valid. Criticism, like, you know, about people who are not safe with shifting or don't do the proper research and are just spreading misinformation. Like, TikTok is like a cesspool of, like, misinformation and stuff. Like, there was a trend going on where people were, like, talking about, like, modern day, like, eugenics. Like, that was, like, the trend. Like, they were just talking about, like, eugenics, but they were trying to, like, rebrand it as this, like, cute, quirky thing. And I was like, oh my fucking God, what the fuck? Like, this is fucking horrifying. What the fuck? But yeah, like, things like that where people are trying to exploit people. And things like that, that's super valid and stuff. But it kind of gets overshadowed when a majority of the people who talk about shifting are too busy, like, ridiculing and making fun of people who do it and enjoy it and, like, basically bullying them. Like, I feel like you can have an opinion and have those critiques without being an asshole and shitting on those people, especially because a lot of people who are a part of the community are people who have a reason to want to escape from reality. Life has not been kind to everyone. And a lot of people have good reason on why they want to escape reality. I feel like it's okay to have some escapism, you know? It's okay to want to escape from reality in a healthy dose, in a healthy amount. You know, not all of us have good lives, especially the people who are part of the shifting community. Like, a lot of them are part of marginalized groups. A lot of them are dealing with serious, like, mental health issues, depression, anxiety. A lot of them are neurodivergent. And all of those communities are so often shit on, like, so often shit on and ridiculed and stuff like that. So to me, I completely understand why people who are shifters get really, like, defensive and get really upset when people are talking about shifting in a negative light and saying awful things about shifting and are, like, just ready to attack, because they're always getting attacked 24/7. So I completely understand and stuff. And I didn't want to be someone who's, like, adding on to the fire and shitting on them and stuff. I just wanted to talk about it. Because I found it really interesting and intriguing. I never wanted to shift, and I'll get into that more when I talk about shifting and stuff, but I always found it really interesting, and I always wanted to talk about it. And then I had this experience, so I was like, oh my God, now I have to talk about it. And I just didn't want to be, like, I was listening to other podcasters talk about shifting. So there was a couple of podcasts that I was listening to where they were talking about shifting, and some of them were just being really nasty. Like, just really nasty. Like, they had valid criticism, but, like, I couldn't listen to the criticism because of how nasty they were being to the people who were shifting. Like, being like, oh my God, why would you even want to do this? Like, you have to be insane to think that this is an actual thing. Like, okay, just say you don't agree with it and move on. Just say you don't like it and move on. You don't need to shit on them. It's really not that hard. It's really not that hard to have an opinion and not be an asshole. I promise you, it's not that difficult. I promise you. And also, like, look at the world that we're living in. Like, be so fucking for real. The world that we're living in right now, all the atrocities, all the horrible things that are happening to people, the new laws that are coming into play that are affecting marginalized groups of people, affecting people's, like, way of life. Like, some people are literally working, like, 3 different jobs and still can't make rent, still living paycheck to paycheck. dude, I can't even go to a fucking grocery store without worrying about it getting shot up. Okay? So sue me if it's such a fucking crime that I want to freaking go to an alternate reality where I don't have to worry about all these things. And plus, my favorite character from my favorite book is madly in love with me and wants to rail me. Fucking sue me. Like, it's not that crazy to think. Like, it just comes off very... It just comes off very just like... It's like the same people who like shit on astrology and are just like so shitty to people who like astrology. And it's like, okay, you don't like it. You don't agree with it. That's fine. But why do you need to shit on these people? Why can't they're not hurting anyone. Just let them enjoy what they want to enjoy. You know, if they are hurting people, then yeah, call them out. But if they just want to freaking look at your fucking zodiac sign, then leave them the fuck alone. It's really not that serious. Like, Jesus. I'm so sorry. I'm like getting really upset. It's just something that always bothers me because I notice that a lot, like with like very niche communities, especially when those niche communities like are filled with people who are part of minority groups or part of different demographics that are always getting shit on, they get like the worst like butt end of the stick. You know, it's like fucking like furries. Like, people will be shitting on furries and cosplayers and it's like, leave them alone. They're literally not hurting anyone. Okay, you don't get it, you don't understand it, that's fine. That's okay. You think it's a little weird, that's fine. You don't need to shit on this person. You don't need to hate on them. Just move on with your life. You think it's cringy, you think it's weird, you think it doesn't make sense, like, okay, fine, whatever. Cool, great, good for you. But going out of your way to like hate on a 14-year-old girl who wants to shift to an alternate reality because she wants to date Draco Malfoy and da da dee da dee doo da dee da, and you're gonna like go in her comments or like post a video fucking duetting it and being like, oh my god, you're so crazy and delusional, you deserve to be in a mental hospital, dude, get fucked in the ass. Fuck you. Like, seriously, fuck you. Leave her alone. Like, don't you have anything else to do with your fucking life? There are people in the shifting community that do deserve a little bit of like pushback, like who are like very dangerous people who are doing dangerous things. This 14-year-old is not doing shit. They're literally not doing shit. You're literally directing it at the wrong person. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I got really upset. I'm really sorry. It just really bothers me. I don't understand why people can just leave it alone. Like, if it's not hurting anyone, then just leave it alone. It's really not that big of a deal. It's really not that hard to just not. Anyways, let me calm down. Let me calm down. I'm sorry. Today's episode is going to be about shifting and the one time that I shifted on accident. I did not mean to shift. It wasn't my intention to shift. I had no intention to shift at all. It wasn't even in my mind. And somehow I managed to. And it was the most terrifying experience I've ever had. The second being the dream I shared on my scary story showdown that I shared with Spencer, and the part two of that dream that I haven't shared with you guys yet, that I'm still debating if I'll share with you because it was really scary. But yeah, it was one of the scariest experiences that I've ever had, and I want to talk about it. So I'm gonna break this into like three parts. So the first part is I'm firstly going to explain shifting. So if you have no idea what shifting is, firstly, I'm so sorry you had to sit and listen to my rant if you had no idea what shifting is, but I will explain to you what it is, and then I'll talk about why I think I shifted and when this happened, and then I'm going to tell you about where I shifted to. So because I usually talk about dreams and stuff, I'm probably going to refer to the shifting experience as a dream. It's just a force of habit, so just to let you know. But anyway, let's get right into it. So, first things first, what is shifting? So, shifting is a phenomenon that gained a lot of popularity on TikTok. And it was during 2020 during the height of the pandemic, you know, and it's basically a practice of like shifting your subconscious to an alternate reality, which can be as realistic as you want, or it can be completely fictional. So for example, let's say you like Harry Potter and you think Draco Malfoy is fine as fuck and you want to be his girlfriend, boyfriend, them friend. Okay. You can take your subconscious and shift it to an alternate reality where that is true, where you are Draco Malfoy's girlfriend, boyfriend, them friend. And you guys are madly in love and you're in the Harry Potter universe and you're living your best life, right? And that reality is usually called your desired reality. And you can't just like do it all willy-nilly. Like there's a bunch of stuff that you have to do. There's this thing called scripting where you have to like write about what you want in your desired reality. There's a lot of meditation, all this like crazy stuff that you have to do in order to get to that alternate reality. It's not considered dreaming or sleeping because it's you taking your subconscious and like putting it in alternate reality. So you're not actually sleeping. You're actually like awake while this is happening. You can do it through sleep though, which it's very complex, you know, as I was saying before, very complex thing. And it's based on the multiverse theory, which proposes the possibility of alternate timelines that are real and timelines that exist in parallel universes. So there's like an infinite number of you existing in each and every universe, and you have the ability to shift into that version of you if you really try. Kind of like the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once. And if you haven't seen that movie, go watch that movie. Oh my God. It's so good. It's so fucking good. That movie's phenomenal. Sidetrack. I literally sobbed like a baby watching that movie. If you are a child of immigrants, specifically if you are the first generation to be born, you will cry. And if you have mommy issues, oh, you will cry. Oh boy. You will be shedding tears, because I was. I was like sobbing in the movie theater and nobody else was crying. And I felt some type of way because I was sitting there trying so hard not to like break down and be like, oh. So I was just like biting my fist and being like, oh my God. So yeah, it's kind of based on those things. So if there's an infinite version of you, then you can shift into one of those versions and basically live that life. And you can like script it because you're scripting it and writing exactly what you want to happen in that like universe. You can make it so that version of you like doesn't know that you're shifting into them, that they're dead, they don't care, that they're okay with it, so on and so forth. Like you can basically make your own reality and stuff. Also, from my understanding, it's not lucid dreaming because with dreams and lucid dreaming in particular, when you are not there, the dream stops because you're the main character, right? So the dream starts with you and it ends with you. And after you leave your dream, like the dream characters aren't like going on with their life. They're like gone because it's all happening in your head and your brain. But with shifting your consciousness to an alternate reality, whether you're there or not, doesn't matter. Like it's still going to be happening regardless if you're there or not, because there's a different version of you who's interacting with life and everything. So you're shifting into that person and then living that life in that desired reality. And then when you leave, it doesn't stop. It keeps going. So that's why it's different. And yes, it sounds pretty cool and stuff, really complex. I never tried shifting on purpose. I wasn't even interested in shifting. Like, I was interested in knowing more about it, especially when it got really popular on TikTok. And, you know, like, there's like this very like famous video of this girl who's like crying and she's like, oh my God, I just spent like 6 months in like Hogwarts or something, and I'm back in my reality and I'm like so miserable. And that's where like shifting can become really dangerous, when you are like doing it that often and you want to like stay in that desired reality since it's not yours. And you, that's the risk of like psychosis and all of that. And I've also like, for me, it's never really talked about like the moral implications of shifting. And I've always wondered about like the moral implications of shifting. Because when I asked my friend about this, because she knows a lot about shifting and she's been trying to shift for a while before she like stopped, because she wanted to like shift into like her favorite like stories and stuff. And I always asked her like, is it like morally okay to shift into like an alternate version of you? Like, is that morally okay? Because, like, you know, they're living their own life and then all of a sudden I'm like shifting into their body and being like, whoa. and like basically like fucking up their life, and then I get to leave and then they have to deal with the ramifications. Like, that's kind of terrifying. And she told me that, well, that wouldn't happen because you can just, when you're scripting for shifting and like prepping to shift to your desired reality, you can just write in your script that that person is okay with it. And that person doesn't mind, or they don't remember, da-da-dee-da-da-doo-da-dee-da. And that always confused me because I was like, is that okay, though? Like, is that okay? Like, is that okay to take their bodily autonomy away from them? Even if because I'm scripting it to say that they're okay with it. But are they okay with it? You know? Also, some people kind of, like, want to script, like, for those who script very, like, realistic scenarios and not, like, fictitious ones, like where they want to like get railed by Draco Malfoy. Like, some of them are like, they're just going to a desired reality of their everyday life, but they now have control over all the people in their lives and they can control what the people in their lives do and stuff. And is that okay? Like, that seems very dehumanizing, like, and not fair. And then also, because it's so similar to your reality, wouldn't you get confused? Like, that's where I think you would fall into like going into psychosis. And then obviously there are some people in the shifting community who are really young, and so some of them might be like, oh, I want to shift to a desired reality where I'm dating Chan from Stray Kids and we're married and stuff like that. And like, technically, if we're using the multiverse like theory, there should be like, there's an infinite amount of reality, so there should be a reality where that person is in fact dating Chan. But is that like morally okay to do that, to be in a relationship with him, when in the reality that you're currently in, like, would he even be okay with it? Probably not, because you're 14, so he wouldn't be okay with it. And is it okay to be in a relationship with someone who didn't consent to be in a relationship with you? Because even if they are in a relationship with you, like in this example that I gave you where this person is in a relationship with Chan, they're in a relationship with that universe's version of you, not you from your universe. So is he consenting to be in a relationship with you? Are you robbing his consent by going into that person's body? And what is that experience for the person who got shifted into? You know, like, what does that feel like to them? Are they having gaps in their memories? Obviously, you can write that out in your like shifting thing, that they don't have gaps in that memory. But then that goes back to the whole, like, is that morally okay to do? And also, if we are able to shift into other people's realities, are they able to shift into our reality? Has a different Hawa shifted into me? I don't know why they would want to do that. But, like, has someone shifted into me and lived my life? Is that why there are certain gaps in my memory that I can't remember? Or people will tell me that I did something and I'm like, oh, I don't have any memory of that. That's weird. Is it because someone shifted into me? And how do I know that people are shifting to me? Because, like, at any time, someone can shift into me and I wouldn't even know. And I've been like scripted to be okay with it. But am I okay with it? I don't think I'd be okay with it. I feel like it's robbing me of my bodily autonomy. And would the other versions of Hawa be okay? You see, like, what I'm saying? Like, I get into this whole like moral dilemma when I think about shifting and scripting. So I was never really like interested in doing it, or even found it really appealing, because it's so much freaking work. Like, you have to do so much. Like, some of these scripts are like an equivalent to like four novels. Like, it's a lot of work to, like, script everything. And you have to be, like, really, like, specific on what you want. Like, how does time change and move in that desired reality? Who's in their desired reality? You have to be specific about their personalities and all that stuff. That's so much work. The work and the payoff is just, like, it's not worth it for me, you know? It's similar to, like, lucid dreaming, despite them being different. Don't attack me. Despite them being different, it's similar to lucid dreaming in the, like, sense of, like, you have to do so much work to be able to lucid dream. And obviously, you have people who are, like, very naturally, like, inclined and are able to lucid dream very easily. But for the rest of us girlies, we gotta work. We have to work. We have to do all this meditation and all this hoo-ha. And it's, like, it's too much work and I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I want to be lazy. And another thing is that for me, lucid dreaming is not a fun experience. I've talked about this at length on this podcast. I'll probably do a whole bonus episode so then I can just point to the bonus episode and be like, listen to that. But my experience with lucid dreaming has been horrible. I've had one singular good experience with lucid dreaming. One. But my usual experience with lucid dreaming is me becoming lucid in the dream and then me getting murdered because I'm lucid in the dream. Because, like, I know it's a dream. And every time that happens, I know it's a dream. And then the characters in the dream are like, you know, this is a dream. And I'll be like, oop. And then they'll very quickly try to murder me. And they always pick the most, like, gruesome and most painful way to, like, kill me. And it's awful. And I've talked to people about this and they always tell me, like, oh my god, you just need to, like, try harder. Oh my god, you just need to, like, not think of negative emotions when you're lucid dreaming. And I'm like, well, how the fuck do I not think about negative emotions when they're trying to disembowel me? Like, I'm so sorry that I can't think of positive emotions and not be scared when there's these people trying to rip my guts out through my freaking mouth. And I can't just sit there and go, perhaps this is all fake. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Also, I feel pain in my dreams. And so it really hurts. And the pain can be so excruciating in my dreams. So I can't even think at all because of how bad the pain is. And so I'm sorry, I can't do it. So, yeah. And also, I have some mental health issues, so I feel like it'd be a real bad idea for me to shift. Like I said before, I've had a psychotic break before, and it's not fun. It's not fun to be constantly questioning your reality and trying to figure out if the people in your life are actually who they say they are, and, like, going down, like, conspiracy rabbit holes and all this stuff. Like, it's not fun. I was not a fun person when I was having that happen to me, you know. So I don't want a repeat of that. So that's why I've always been a little bit avoidant of, like, doing shifting myself. Of course, I wanted to know more about it because I do find it really fascinating. And I do really love the multiverse theory. Like, I really do love it. It's so interesting. And it's kind of fun to think about all the different Hawas in the universe and what they're doing with their lives. Or if there's anything that, like, connects us together, like, do all the Hawas in the universe, in different parallel universes, do they all like the color yellow? It's just, like, a fun thing I like to think about sometimes when I'm, like, cooking or cleaning. Like, oh my gosh, is every Hawa in the multiverse, like, allergic to mint? Or is there, like, one lucky bitch who's not allergic to mint and she can fucking, like, deep throat some mint chocolate chip ice cream and not die? The lucky hoe. Like, that's something I always think about. Like, damn, that's crazy. And maybe I would want to shift into her just so I could, like, eat mint ice cream and, like, not die. That'd be interesting. That's never gonna happen though. But yeah, that's basically everything about shifting, everything that you need to know, and everything that I know based on my very limited understanding. Now we're gonna get into my personal experience with shifting. And during the time when I had this experience, I did not think I shifted at all. I just thought I had a really bad dream, and I just thought that I got the worst sleep of my life, because when I woke up, I felt like shit. I felt so awful. My body was like aching. I was so exhausted, but I couldn't like go to sleep. I felt completely like drained of all of my energy. I felt drained physically, emotionally, spiritually. Like, I just felt so out of it. And I spent the entire day in bed. Like, I did not, the only time I left bed was to like use the bathroom and like eat something. And even then, like, I didn't even have an appetite. Like, I just felt awful. And I was like, damn, I really had some really bad sleep. And usually when I have a really crazy dream, the first two things I do is write in my dream journal and contact my friend Elle. And Elle used to be a co-host on this podcast. And she actually, like, this podcast was her idea. Like, the reason why this podcast exists is because of Elle. So you better be thanking Elle, okay? And she's no longer on the podcast anymore just because she didn't really feel comfortable sharing her dreams to an audience and kind of wanted to keep that more intimate. But we, to this day, always share our craziest dreams to each other and analyze them or just talk about them in general. Like, it's our favorite thing to do. So when I, every time I have a crazy dream, I always tell Elle about my crazy dream. And so I told her about this crazy dream that I had and everything that I could remember and how intense it was and how awful it is. And then I told her about how awful that I felt and all the things that I was feeling. I also woke up super dehydrated, which isn't really like uncommon. Like, my room is really dry, so I have like a little like water dispenser in my room. So when I wake up, the first thing I do is like drink some water because I will be so dehydrated and my mouth will be so dry and I'll wake up being like, oh my God. So I told her all my symptoms and she was like, yo, I think you shifted to a different reality. And at first I was like, nah, I don't think so. I don't think I shifted. And she's always had this belief that I could shift naturally and I was just unaware of it because of how vivid my dreams are and how realistic they are, even when they're set in like a very fantastical world. And I never really believed her. Like, it makes sense, but to me, I just think that's just because that's how I am and everything. So like, one thing that like she always pointed out is that like there's so many like small details in my dreams that usually don't show up in dreams. And like, usually like in a dream, for example, if you're like getting ready in the morning, you usually just like get ready and then you pop up to the next scene. But in my dreams, that never happens. Like, if I have to go from point A to point B, I have to do all the processes that I would do in real life to get to point B. And obviously when I'm telling you guys like a dream and narrating it to you, I'm never gonna like tell you like each and every like process. I'm just going to cut and I always say like the dream cuts to, this cuts to, but no, that's because I don't want to like narrate every small thing that I had to do throughout the day to get to that location. But that's what's happening for me. And because my dreams are so hyper realistic, like when I retell them, I can like, when I close my eyes and I'm like retelling a dream, I can like see the dream happening as I dreamt it, like perfectly, which is why I'm always so passionate when I'm like telling a dream and I'm like getting really heated and you're like, what the fuck, how? It's not that deep. It is, because when I close my eyes, I can like see it and relive what's happening and I can like feel what's going on in that dream. And feeling is such a big thing in my dream. So I like just feel like the emotions in my dreams a lot more. And I can also just like feel like the touches and stuff, like touch. I can feel it very, very well in my dreams and stuff, which is why, you know, when I accidentally become lucid in my dream and then the dream tries to kill me, I can feel them trying to kill me and it really, really hurts. I can feel pain in my dreams. I can always taste in my dreams. I can hear what I need to hear in my dreams. Even if like someone's whispering quietly, I can always hear it in my dreams. I can, the only things that I can't do in my dreams is like smell. I usually can't smell in my dreams unless someone like says something in my dream that like prompts me to be like, oh yeah, this smells good. So if someone's like, oh, these cookies smell good. I'll be like, oh, yeah, they do smell good. Like, now I'm aware that I can, like, smell the cookies. And then my sight isn't the greatest because in real life, my sight is ass. So, and because my dreams are so realistic, my sight is ass in my dreams. So, I have bad eyesight in real life and in my dreams. But yeah, so that's really normal for me. And also, like, the minute details and stuff and, like, you know, the really small things, I feel like that's just normal because that's just the type of person that I am. I'm just very aware of my surroundings and very in tune on just, like, my feelings and stuff, basically. Like, the example I was going to use is the fact that, like, drinking like a cup of tea, like when I drink a cup of tea, it's not just like me mindlessly drinking a cup of tea. Like, I'm aware of the mug in my hand, I'm aware of the warmth in my palms from like the warm drink, I'm aware of the smell of the chai, I'm aware of the comfort that it brings me, I'm aware of myself bringing it up to my face, I'm aware of myself drinking it, like I'm aware of the feeling of the liquid going down my throat, all that stuff. Like, I'm aware of that in real life. So it makes sense that I would be aware of that in my dreams as well. And I would feel those things as well because I really allow myself to feel those things when I'm awake. You know, it's like a grounding technique that I use in everyday life to like ground myself. So it just makes sense to me. Also, the characters in my dreams and the way they act is so like human, just so human. And I know that there are characters in my dreams, and if I were to like be able to get lucid and do lucid dreaming, I can basically make them do whatever I want. And that just feels that I don't know why, that just makes me feel icky because they feel so real and they feel like they have their own bodily autonomy and their own thoughts and feelings. And a lot of times in my dream, like if I'm going to go do something else, it's not like the person, the character in my dream is like all of a sudden like turned off, do 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 do, like a robot. Like they're doing their own things while I'm doing my own things in a dream. And then when I come back to them, they tell me about the things that they've been doing and all these things. And there's just so much, like they all have flaws and they're so 3D and they're so real, you know, that even if I were to get lucid, I wouldn't want to impose on their like free will. I would want them to act like them and do what they please. Like obviously if they're hurting someone, then like I gotta step in, you know, but like it feels icky, it feels gross for me to like do something, and it never feels like, obviously like when I leave the dream they're not there anymore, but to me it never feels like that, or I'm not aware of it, you know. I don't think I'm making sense anymore, so let's just move on. So that's usually how my dreams are. And so she's always thought I was lucid. And I was like, no, she's always thought I was just shifting. And I was like, I don't think so. But when she started to explain to me the like symptoms of like shifting, like what are the symptoms after like you have a shift, especially when you had like a shift that went wrong, it kind of like clicked and it kind of like made sense to me because this experience was so bizarre and was just so hyper realistic. And the one thing that stood out to me in this experience was the fact that the entire time that I was there, it felt like I was fighting for control. It felt like the person that I shifted into me, like the how that I shifted into me, wasn't aware that I was there until I made myself known. And then from that point, it kind of felt like we were fighting for control, especially because of some of the things that she has to do in this dream. And I'm on her side. Like some of the stuff that she does in this dream is like genuinely so fucked up, but I have sympathy for her and I understand and I really hope she's okay. But like, I understand why she had to do the things that she had to do. But it felt like we were just trying to fight for control. And this experience is very weird because there were two different Howas in this universe. Yeah. And when she was explaining to me with the symptoms, and when I explained the dream to her, and she was like, yeah, you shifted, for some reason, it just clicked. And I was like, yeah, I believe you. I shifted. Yeah, 100%. Like, there's no other explanation. Also, it's this experience, the dream, per se, was super complex. And I'm used to having really complex dreams. You know, but like this was like on a different level. So without further ado, let me just tell you about the dream / shifting experience. So first, I need to explain the universe that we're in, because that in itself is very complex. So this entire thing takes place in like a universe that is completely different from Earth. There are no humans on this planet. Instead, there are these creatures that are very similar to, if you've watched Avatar, the Na'vi. They're very, very similar to the Na'vi, with slight differences. And they live on this planet, and it's kind of divided in two halves. So there are two major tribes, the Ritz and the Sider. The Ritz live on one half of the planet, and that half of the planet is completely like lush, with greenery and like deep forests. And the Siders live on the other half of the planet that's completely like desert lands, completely like barren, dry, dusty, you know? And the alien creatures that live on this planet, again, look very similar to the Na'vi. So they're like very tall, stand at like 8 foot tall, and they have like very humanoid features, humanoid like anatomy, but their facial features look very similar to that of a cat. So specifically for the Ritz, they look exactly like the Na'vi, except even more cat-like. So their features are a lot more cat-like. They have cat-like ears, cat-like eyes. They have cat-like noses. They have like a giant tail as well. And they're like a dark blue color. And then the Siders are the same height as the Ritz, the same anatomy and everything, except instead of looking more cat-like, they look more like rhinos. So they have more rhino facial features, and they're also like a brown mud color. That's what a brown, like sandy mud color. That's their skin tone. And they have a lot more rhino features. They have like a very small tail. Like it kind of is like, looks like a curly pig's tail, if I'm completely honest. And yeah, so the Siders live on one side of the planet, and the Ritz live on the other side of the planet. And they have been in war for like centuries. They have been constantly fighting each other, and they've been fighting for so long that they don't even know why they're fighting. They just know that the other person is the enemy and they cannot live, basically. And so they've been fighting this entire time, and this war has been very, very, very gruesome. A lot of people have died, a lot of people have lost loved ones and all that jazz, and they don't even see each other as like worth anything. Like the Ritz see the Siders as like vermin and parasites, and the Siders see the Ritz as like ants. Like if you see like an ant crawling on your table, they're like, oh, ew, squish, I need to squish that ant. That's how they like see each other. And I mentioned before that there are two Hawas in this universe. So there is a Sider Hawa and there is a Ritz Hawa. And when I first started this experience, I'm going to refer to it as a dream just to make it easier, but remember, it's experience. When I first started the dream, I was in Sider Hawa's body and living as her, and then at a certain point it switches to the Ritz Hawa and then the Sider Hawa, and then things get a little crazy. Okay, so it starts with Sider Hawa, and Sider Hawa has been a part of the war and fighting in the war for a really long time. Like she has lost her entire family to this war. Like war is all she knows, and she's actually a torturer in the military. So her job is to torture the prisoners of war and execute them afterwards. Once they like give us the information that once they give them the information that they need, they will execute them. And the way they did it is they had this like this giant vat of like acid. And they would put them in these like cages and they would slowly lower them into the vat of acid. And like the acid would literally like if it touched your skin, it would very slowly like eat at your skin and like basically eat you alive. But it was like a very like slow process and you could like watch yourself get eaten alive. And it's also very hot and stuff. So when you're like dunked into it, it's like an instant death. But usually they like put the cage like halfway into the acid. And like the cage is able to like withstand the acid. I don't know what the fuck it was made out of. But it was able to withstand the acid. And so they would put the cage halfway in the acid and just force the prisoner to like be like half like submerged in it and like suffer. Awful fucking stuff, right? And, like, this is all she knows. Like, she's been fighting this war for as long as she's been alive. This is all she knows. And, like, she hates the Ritz. She absolutely despises the Ritz because they've taken, like, everything from her. And then you have Ritz Hawa. And so Ritz Hawa is, like, this socialite who is, like, blissfully, like, unaware of the war. Like, she just has no idea what's going on. Like, she knows the war is happening, but like as far as she's concerned, like they're winning. And her big thing that she's dealing with is her fuck buddy. She has a fuck buddy that I'm gonna name Simon, and you know, they've been fucking or whatever, they're in like a situationship, and she wants to like make it like official with Simon, but Simon doesn't want to do that because Simon's like a billionaire and she's a millionaire and he doesn't want to be caught dead with a millionaire. Ew, that's disgusting. He's a billionaire. So like her whole thing is like she's trying to like get Simon to like make the relationship like serious. That's her thing. Meanwhile, Cider Howell is suffering. Cider Howell is fighting for her life, okay? And it switches between the two. So at that point, I just thought it was a regular degular dream, you know, a very horrifying dream. Because when I'm in like Cider Hawa's body, I'm torturing prisoners of war. And then when I'm in Ritz Hawa's body, she's just trying to like get her situationship to not be a situationship. You know, very different things there. It's kind of silly. But yeah, so. With Cider Hawa, a lot of stuff happens where she's like basically just torturing these prisoners of war and trying to learn of what the Ritz are doing. And one big thing is that the Ciders are like winning this war. Like they are like destroying the Ritz and they're very close to like ending this war for good. However, the Ritz, they don't tell their society that. Like they keep like spreading this propaganda that they're like winning the war when actuality they're getting their asses like handed to them. And yeah, so that's basically the universe and everything that is like happening. And now I want to share like three very specific things that happened that were very like scary. So the first thing that happened that was really scary is like the first time that I like took control. And I didn't mean to. It was just like a genuine reaction. So Cider Hawa is like torturing all these people, trying to get information. And then her job is to execute them. And one of the people that she was supposed to torture was like a kid, a child. And this person's a child of war. And they're like basically forced to be like in the military and like fight, you know? And her job was to torture this child, get some answers out of them, and then kill them. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Like, the thought of hurting this child was awful. And her, like, general was really, like, torturing this child, like really like antagonizing them and being awful to them. And this child was like crying and was so upset, and her job was to literally like press the button to kill this child, and she was about to do it, and I was like, no, I can't do it, like I can't hurt this child. So she like hesitated and like didn't press it, and her general was like looking at her and it's like, what are you doing, why aren't you pressing this button? And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. Like, I pressed the button. And she tried to again, but I was like, no, we can't do this. This is a child. We can't hurt this child, you know? And so she kept trying to press the button, but I was like, I kept being like, no, we can't do it. And so she would like stop and like wasn't able to press the button. And so her general got really mad at her and looked at her and was like, just press the fucking button. Like, I don't understand why you're not pressing the button. And he came over and he like slammed his fist on the button and the cage went straight down. And I remember hearing this kid like screaming in agony and pain. And in this, like, because I shifted, I could smell like burning flesh. I could smell it. It was awful. And just hearing this like kid screaming in pain, it was just, ugh, it was horrible. And the general was pissed. I mean, he grabbed Cider Hawa by the throat and, like, slammed her into the wall and, like, started to, like, yell at her, being like, if I tell you to do something, you do it, okay? Horrible shit. And I forgot to mention, but in this, like, experience, I was aware of my own feelings and emotions. And I was aware of the emotions and feelings that Cider or Ritz Hawa was feeling, and I was able to like know that they weren't mine. Like, so Cider Hawa would feel something and I'd be like, okay, that's not my feeling, that's how she feels, I don't feel the same way. And so I would be feeling one thing and she would be feeling like either a similar thing or like a different thing. So like in this moment we both scared because the general is like very, very scary. And I felt so bad. I felt really, really, like, so bad. Like, I felt horrible for having this happen to her. Because, like, I don't want to blame her for having to do this stuff. Like, obviously, it's the way she grew up and stuff. But, like, I didn't want to see a child get tortured. And because of that, it caused her to not be able to, like, fulfill her task. And then because of that, she's getting, like, basically, like, beaten by her general because she didn't do what she was supposed to do, you know? And meanwhile, while that's happening to Cider Hawa, Ritz Hawa is trying to just, like, trying to get her fuck buddy to, like, be her boyfriend. Like, that's what Ritz Hawa is doing. Meanwhile, Cider Hawa is, like, suffering. And I interact a lot more with, like, Cider Hawa's, like, feelings and emotions. And, like, it's a lot of push and pull between the two of us. But oftentimes when I shifted into, like, Ritz Hawa, I was just kind of watching what was going on. And that's why I felt like a dream to me. Because I didn't do that with Ritz Hawa. Because she's just trying to get her fuck buddy to be her boyfriend. And, like, she's just talking to her, like, rich friends. And, like, trying to buy him, like, gifts and stuff. And then they're having their, like, fun little rendezvous. And she's, like, trying to figure out how to, like, bring it up to him and stuff. And he's being, you know, him. And so that's what's going on the Ritz side. Meanwhile, Cider Hawa is getting strangled and freaking thrown against the wall and, like, getting yelled at by her general. And he's like, after you're done with your shift, you come and find me. We have to talk. And he, like, left. And I felt so bad. Oh, I felt so horrible. And for, like, the rest of her, like, you know, torturing and execution shift, she's, like, really nervous and on edge because she's, like, convinced that he's gonna, like, kill her. And so she's, like, trying to figure out, like, what she's going to do to, like, defend herself and stuff because he's, like, a lot bigger than her, a lot stronger than her. So after her shift, she, like, meets her commander and they start walking into the desert. And they're walking for a long time, like 3 hours. They're just walking in the desert in silence. And he's, like, leading her and she's, like, trailing behind her. And, oh, dude, the fucking tension and the fear
like, it felt like she was walking to, like, her execution, and she's, like, trying to, like, figure out, like, what to do, and I feel like shit, because I'm like, oh my god, and I'm also thinking, like, okay, like, what can she do? Is there something she can do? Like, if they were to get into a fight, like, what's going to happen? And I guess he could, like, sense that, because he turns around and he goes, don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you, I just have something I want to show you. And so soon he leads her to this, like, oasis that's, like, hidden deep, deep, deep in the desert. And it's, oh my god, it's beautiful. And by the time they get to the oasis, it's like the sun is just beginning to, like, set. And it's literally beautiful. It literally is this giant, like, river lake that, like, goes on for, like, miles and miles. And there's trees and, like, a mini, like, almost like a mini forest on either side of that lake. And the trees from one side to the other have, like, a red string. So, like, there's a tree on one side of the lake with red string, and then it leads to the other tree on the other side of the lake. And every single tree has, like, a red string that's leading to another tree. And there are, like, millions of these tiny, like, red strings hanging. And when we get there, Ciderhow is, like, looking around, and I'm looking around too, like, damn, bitch. And we're both just, like, looking around, and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And the water, despite it being, like, so hot in the desert, the water is, like, perfectly, like, the perfect temperature. It's not, like, freezing cold. It's, like, perfectly cool. And she looks around and she's like, oh my god, what is this place? And the general explains that this is, like, the Song Love Trees. And so there are, like, two things that are, like, completely against the war. Like, obviously, everything, all is fair in love and war, right? But there are, like, two things that cannot happen in this war, or it's considered, like, a war crime. So each tribe has, like, a national treasure, and for the Ciders, it's the Song Love Trees. And the reason why they're called the Song Love Trees is because each tree is, like, connected to, like, a person. Each tree represents a person on Earth, and, like, for every tree that represents a person on Earth, every bush represents, like, any other living organism on Earth. And the red strings are, like, connecting them to their soulmates. And if you were to, like, gently, like, flick one of the, like, strings, like, pluck it, it would play the song of their love, like, what their love sounds like. And there are millions of these red strings just, like, going down this river. And I don't know why, when I saw the river, it kind of looked like the Nile River. Like, that's what I thought of when I saw it, because of how long it is and the trees, like, at the edge of it and everything. And so, yeah, and that's why they're called the Song Love Trees. And this is, like, a national, like, treasure, because basically every living person has a tree in this, like, oasis, including all of the Ritz. And so if they were to, like, destroy these trees, they would be destroying, like, soulmate connections and stuff like that. And that's, like, considered, like, a complete war crime against everything. And then on the Ritz side of things, they have this, like, crystal orb that they have hidden within one of their buildings. And this crystal orb basically represents the planet. And if this were to get destroyed, then the planet wouldn't be able to, like, stay in orbit. The planet would stop orbiting altogether, which would kill literally everyone on the planet. So it's, like, a complete war crime to destroy the Song Love Trees or to destroy the golden crystal orb. And so the general, like, explains to her that the reason why he took her there was because he wanted to show her what they're fighting for. He, like, wanted to remind her, like, this is what we're fighting for. Like, these trees, all of them represent, like, different people who live on this planet. And even the Ritz have, like, trees here. You know, they have their own soulmate connections here in this oasis. And we're fighting to protect that. So if you really think about it, we're fighting to protect the Ritz.
And I and she said something and it made me laugh so hard because his reaction was so funny. She said something like, okay, like if the Ritz trees are like, if the Ritz have trees here, why don't we just like burn them down? Like, why don't we just burn down the Ritz's trees and destroy their like soulmate connections? And he's like, oh my God, what is wrong with you? Oh my God, how that's like fucked up. Like, I can't believe you would say that. Like, everyone deserves to be loved. And he was like shaming her for like saying that. And I was like, weren't you the one that tortured a child and killed them? Like, I think she was less fucked up than you were, sir. But yeah, he like shows her the trees and stuff, and he's like showing them each tree, and he's like demonstrating like taking one of the red strings and like gently like plucking it, and like this beautiful song plays, and then he plucks a different one and another song plays, and it's like completely different from the first song but just as beautiful. And at that point I ask, like, I'm like, oh, is like, so everyone has a tree here, like everyone has a tree here, everyone has a soulmate connection. And he's like, yes, that's true. And so I went, oh my God, I should look for my friend L, like I should look for L's soulmate tree, because I want to know if her soulmate is who I think it is, because I have a theory on who her soulmate is, and you guys aren't gonna hear it, but she already knows my theory. And I was like, oh my God, I want to go look for her tree. And so I kind of took over and started, jumped into the, like the river, and started to look for her tree. And he's like, oh, where are you going? And I'm like, oh, I'll be right back. Or like, you can follow me if you want. And he like follows me, and I'm looking specifically for one. I'm specifically looking for her tree. And I found it. I found her tree, and I found the string. And I was about to check to see what tree it was connected to. And before I could, there was a loud piercing alarm sound. That was the alarm sound that signaled that the Ritz were attacking. And so the general and I were trying to get back to the base, but because we went to the Song Love Trees, we were way too far out. So we were forced to basically stay at the Oasis for the night. And when they finally like got back to the base, it was a complete massacre. Like, complete massacre. And this gets into the second scariest thing that happened in the stream, which is the Ritz committing the war crime of burning down the Song Love Trees. And so they completely destroy, while they're gone, they like completely ambush the military base and just take everyone out. And by the time they get back to the base, the Ritz have already made it to the Song Love Trees, and they start a fire and start burning down the Song Love Trees, which is like, no, they can't do that. And oh my God, as they're like burning down the trees, a bunch of civilians are like trying to run and get to the Song Love Trees so they can put out the fires, because it's such an important thing. And they are just like killing them, like wiping them out. Damn near genocide. And as they do that, it was a horrible sight to see, because you could see like the fires like burning really hot, and just like the flames are so high, burning all of the trees. And as like each tree died, and as each red string burned, it continued playing like that soulmate connections like song. And so it was like, so ugh, it was horrible. It was horrible. So you just like hear like these people like screaming and dying and like begging for them to not burn down these trees, and then them being like shot and killed, and then each soulmate's song is like playing, and like as it like burns, it slowly like starts to distort. It slowly starts to like distort before it disintegrates. And by the time these song trees are like completely burned, like a majority of the cider population is wiped out. Like, they managed to kill almost all of the ciders. The only ciders that are alive are Hawa, Cider Hawa, the general, and two like civilian teams. That's it. everyone else was killed trying to save the Song Love Trees. And because of that, the Ritz win. They win the war. Committing a war crime. And yeah, like when I close my eyes, I can see it perfectly. And just like how devastated like everyone is, because like no one thought that they would do that. Like no one thought they would. Obviously, this war was like not, you know, it wasn't a walk in the park. It was difficult. A lot of bloodshed happened. A lot of fucked up things happened in this war. And a lot of people died, but no one thought they would commit that. Like, they would commit a war crime in order to win, because that's how desperate they were. And that leads to the third and final scary thing that happened in this dream. And this in itself was a trip. And I hope I'm explaining this right. I feel like it might be really confusing because, like, there's me, and then there's the Cider Hawa, and then there's the Ritz Hawa. And, like, I'm not, like, there separately in, like, a separate body. Like, I'm in her body. And I just feel like I'm, like, a subconscious in her head that can, like, sometimes take control. So, yeah, I hope that's making sense. But this part, the third part is, I'm going to call, like, the revenge part of it. And so, basically, shift into, like, Ritz Hawa, and they're, like, celebrating the fact that they won the war. And none of them know that they won the war by committing that, like, war crime. None of them know. So, they're, like, celebrating and, like, having a party and all that stuff. And there's a very strict rule that no one's allowed to leave, like, the city walls. And Ritz Hawa and her friends decide that they're gonna leave the city wall because they're like, oh, the war is over, like, we can do whatever we want, we're Ritz. And she's like really upset, and she's like kind of drunk because of the fact that like Simon is just like not interested in her. He's like not wanting to make things serious, obvious, because obviously he like said that, but like, you know, it wasn't clicking. And like she like catches him like kissing like some other girl, and so she's like really upset. She's like, come on guys, let's leave and like go outside the walls. And so that's what they do, and they are like drinking and like walking in the forest, and they accidentally bump into Cider Hawa, the general, and the two teenage girls. And this part was like fucking trippy, because I could see Cider Hawa's perspective and Ritz Hawa's perspective at the same exact time. The same exact fucking time. It was insane. And so they're like, obviously Ritz Hawa and her like posse are like freaking out because they've never seen a cider before. And like they look like really in bad shape. Like they're all bruised and beaten. And so they tie them up, and Cider Hawa is just about to like torture and kill them, because, you know, that's her thing. She likes to do that. But the general stops her and he goes, no, don't do that. I think I have an idea. And so he starts to explain his idea, which is basically he wants to infiltrate into the Ritz society, find the crystal orb and destroy it. Because he thinks, why is it fair that they get to live on this planet when they did the unspeakable and killed our tribe? Why do they get to live and continue to thrive after that? Like, if we have to suffer, they also get to suffer. It's not fair that they don't get to suffer. And so we should just destroy this planet and have them die too. And we're gonna die, but like, who cares? Like, we have nothing to lose. And Hawa and the two teens are like, yeah, let's fucking do it. But how are we gonna get in? And he points to Ritz Hawa. And mind you, Ritz Hawa and her friends are like literally begging for their lives. And they're like, please, like, we won't tell anyone that we saw you here. Like, we'll keep it to ourselves. Like, we're on your side. Just literally saying anything to like get them to not do what they're about to do. But he points at Ritz Hawa and he goes, she looks exactly like you. She looks like the Ritz version of you perfectly. You just have to look like her. And Howa's like, how am I supposed to do that? And he goes, simple. You just have to wear her skin. Huh? What? I beg your pardon? To make a long story short, they end up killing Ritz Howa and her friends, skinning them alive and then wearing their skin to infiltrate the Ritz society. Yeah. Yeah. And let me tell you, it's fucking graphic. It was disgusting. I'm getting like speechless and like, because I'm remembering it. But like they skinned them alive, and they weren't kind to them either. They didn't like kill them like a little, like, you know, quick and simple way. Like, they tortured them, killed them, and then skinned them alive and sewed themselves into their skin so that they would look like they were like Ritz. And then proceeded to like cover themselves in cider blood, because cider blood and Ritz blood looks different. So Ritz blood is red, but cider blood is blue, which is, I don't know why, but it is. And so they cover themselves in their own blood, and then they head back to the Ritz society. And when they like enter the Ritz society, everyone's like super shocked and like, oh my god, what happened? And the general, like, pretending to be one of like one of the like friends, is like, oh my gosh, like, we were attacked by some ciders, but luckily like we were able to defend ourselves, like their bodies are in the forest, but it was so scary. Oh my god, da-dee-dee, da-dee-doo, da-dee-da. And we managed to like convince everyone, and like, because of how like when they found the bodies, it was just like mangled corpses and everything, they're like super impressed and like, oh my god, look at these like socialites, that like they're not just like dumb rich people, like they're able to defend themselves and stuff, and like they're like praised for it and like even given medals for it. And for some reason, because of that really like makes Simon like be like, ooh, actually I am kind of interested in Ritz Howa. Well, too late, Simon. Ritz Howa is dead. And so he starts to pursue Cider Howa like more seriously, thinking that it's Ritz Howa. And that's where it kind of just ends. I don't know what happens after that, because I was awoken by my mom, which I really, oh my god, I'm so happy she did, because it was awful. It was awful. Genuinely, I did not enjoy that experience at all. There was not one part where I was like, oh my god, I'm having fun. I think maybe seeing the song Love Trees, because like genuinely that scenery was so fucking beautiful. But that was quickly ruined by everything. And yeah, I hope Cider Howe is okay. Like, probably not, you know, with the whole plan to like literally kill everyone on that planet. Oh god. But yeah, that was my shifting experience. Absolutely horrifying. Similar to my lucid dreaming experience. Awful, horrifying. Never want to do it ever again. Not a slay at all. Let me know if you think I shifted. I'll do a little poll and a Q&A as well. So let me know if you have ever shifted before, and tell me your experience of what it was like to shift. And also let me know with the poll if you think I shifted or if you think I had a really vivid dream. I think I shifted. I fully think I shifted, because this was unlike any dream I've ever experienced before. Ever. And another thing that happened after everything that happened with this experience, something that still happens to this day, is sometimes I will get like violent flashbacks to this. Like violent flashbacks where I'm back on the planet, I'm Cider Hawa, and it's awful. They're like so vivid. It feels like I'm like I've just been transported back, and it's awful, and I hate it. I hate it so much because I never want to go back there. I never want to go back there. Like I can like still like it was awful. It was genuinely so awful. It sucked. It sucked. But yeah, that's basically my experience. Thank you so much for listening. I don't really know what else to say. Happy Halloween. I hope you have a fun, spooky season. I hope you guys stay safe. If you want to shift, I highly encourage you to do your research. Look for reputable people who talk about shifting, who aren't weird, who aren't trying to exploit you, who are not trying to spread misinformation, all of that jazz. Stay off the weird side of TikTok. There is a lot of weird sides of TikTok. I actually don't have TikTok. Fun fact. It makes me sound like a pygmy being like, yeah, I don't have TikTok, but I don't. The only reason why I don't have it is because of two reasons. One, it seems really addicting. And two, like, during like the height when TikTok was like really popular during 2020, I didn't really like some of the stuff that I was seeing on there. I didn't like how like creators, black creators' videos were being muted when they were talking about the Black Lives Matter movement. I didn't like the way some trends got really popular on TikTok, and some of those trends were like of really dangerous things. And like what I mentioned earlier, like the rebranding of like modern day eugenics. There's also like another trend that I saw that was getting popular of people talking about like hunting for gnomes. And when they say hunting for gnomes, they mean like they're hunting for minorities to kill them, specifically hunting for people who are Jewish and like trying to like take them out, like really anti-Semitic, like awful stuff that's just on there, and no one does anything about it. Like no one takes it off. Like it's crazy as shit. And I was like, ooh, I do not want that. I do not need that in my feed. The only downside is that I am always late to the party when it comes to like the new trends and the new jokes that are going around. So I have to wait till they get on like my YouTube shorts. I have to wait till they get to my YouTube shorts. And so then I'll tell my friend like, oh my God, I found this funny like video, this TikTok video. And she's like, this is 6 months old. And I'll be like, "Arr, well, can you like pretend to laugh? That'd be really nice." And yeah, well, thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being here with me. You know, be sure to check out the Instagram _ It's Just a Dream Podcast. I won't be able to post anything on my story for the time being. My phone broke. I'll talk more about that in another episode, but I don't have a phone and I can't post on my story. So that sucks. But I can post a bunch of regular Instagram posts. You can see dream quotes, dream facts. You can see trailers and teasers to new episodes, all of that jazz. If you have any scary, funny, cool dreams that you want me to analyze, be sure to send them to itsjustadreampodcast2@gmail.com. Again, itsjustadreampodcast2@gmail.com. And I would love to hear your scary dreams. If you've had a scary shifting experience like I have, send it here, bro. I want to hear it. I want to know that I'm not alone. If you don't like sending emails, maybe you want to send a voice note. You can send me a voice note using the link in the description box below. There's also a link to my Discord server. And yeah, there are also links on ways you can help all around the world as well. And shout out to my $5 tier patron, Leah Eckhart. You are my sun, you are my moon, and you are all my stars. Thank you so much for your support. If you want to support me on Patreon and hear your name at the end of every episode till the day I stopped podcasting, maybe consider pledging to my Patreon. I don't really have any content on there, so if you pledge, it's only because you want to support me. only because you want to support me. So that's something that you can do, but you don't have to do that. And then once again, be sure to check out the links in the description box below on ways you can help all around the world. I try to keep the links updated based on what's going on with current events. So, you know, check in from time to time. It's good to be educated on what's going around and give a helping hand for those in need. And yeah, that's everything I have for you. Thank you so much for being here and listening to my crazy shifting experience. It was insane. You know, make sure you take care of yourself. Make sure you're taking care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Make sure you eat something today, no matter how small it is. I had Taco Bell breakfast and I'm going to have Taco Bell lunch. No, I'm not. I'm probably going to have oatmeal. So maybe you should get some oatmeal too. Or if you're not an oatmeal girly boy, themmy, maybe get something else, something small to nourish your soul. Also make sure to drink something, some water, hydrate or dehydrate. And remember that I love you to the moon and back, from the stars above and beyond. We'll see you soon till we dream again. Bye-bye.